You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 podcast.
This might be college football.
When you do a job like this, you talk to people from all walks of life, very famous, iconic folks. But for whatever reason, every time we have somebody from the entertainment world, I just simply lose all perspective and make a fool out of myself, which I'm about to do here. Live and in living color, Michael L. Bivens joining us. And if you, I feel like introducing you is a waste of time because everyone knows who you are, starting in the 80s and the 90s with some of the iconic groups from. I mean, I don't even know how to start the list other than your one of your biggest hits, maybe your biggest hit, is on your hat right now. Poison, which you did with Belle DeVoe. But thank you for making time for us. I don't know exactly how to address you, Mr. Biv, Mike Biv. So help me out here.
Nah, just call me 617 Mike Biv. That's who I be every day.
So, how you doing, Paul?
It's
so great to talk to you. And we obviously, this is a sports show, but we often dip into entertainment. Last week, we were in Nashville, talking to a few country artists. We've had, back in the day, LL Cool J on. I've gone head-to-head with Drake on TV. I got,
right.
I know I sound like I'm bragging to you, which I'm just nervous. I got name dropped last spring by Lil Wayne. And so I guess what I'm saying is, what about me? Come on, Mike Biv, what's going on here?
Man, everything is good. You know, fresh from Los Angeles and Vegas. New Edition, one of the groups you didn't mention. This is our 40th anniversary. We've been around for 40 years. We inspired groups like NSYNC, New Kids on the Block, Boys to Men, the Backstreet Boys. And we're in Vegas at the Wynn Hotel, sold out shows. We're going back in July. New Edition just left from being on television this weekend for the NAACP Image Awards, getting the Hall of Fame Award. And last year, Paul, we were at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame doing a special tribute for the legendary group, The Spinners. I must say, man, life is pretty good, man. And I'm on the Paul Show now. I'm SEC affiliated right now, player. I'm here. I'm with you.
Hey, I grew up in the 70s. I can go pretty deep into The Spinners, one-of-a-kind, love-affair group. I mean, come on now. So you grew up on the East Coast. You guys hit it with so many different groups, starting with the New Edition. What influenced you as a young person, as you were beginning to feel your way around in terms of thinking about music?
Well, the thing is, right, we're from a place called Roxbury, Mass., which doesn't get as mentioned as much as Boston. Boston gets mentioned more than Roxbury. That's the hood of the city of Boston. But we're from this place called Orchard Park Projects. And it was like a place where every neighbor, everybody you knew was like family, and people were trying to figure out what they wanted to be in life. Me personally, I wanted to play in the NBA. You know, I wanted to go to high school and be an all scholastic. I wanted to go to a D1 school back then. I wasn't SEC. I was more DePaul because they were on TV. I wanted to go over there and play in Chicago. I wanted to be in the league. And I started out as a basketball player, and that's how I ended up in the group, was having popularity as a basketball player. But the New Edition singing group, we entered into talent shows, Paul, and our very first talent show we did, the four of us, Bobby, Ricky, Ralph, and myself, we won $10. We split it $2.50 a piece, and we knew we were on our way. It was the biggest day of my life because all of the girls from the project and our friends were sitting in the audience, and they were screaming like they didn't just see us 20 minutes ago walking up to the theater. So it was a pretty amazing feeling to know that a talent show could take you to 40 years.
I have been courtside at national championships and seen the winning shot. I've seen it in football and many other sports, but what's it like to be a rock star, to literally be on the stage and see what you see from that perspective?
It's amazing because I take my basketball side. When I'm on stage, I'm not normally doing the singing. I have my parts. I come in and out. So I could see the back of the room. I could see the left and the right side. I could see the middle. And I kind of see who's engaging with us, who's new to the show, and what can I do to pull them in. I always treat myself like a point guard. And a rock star, the feeling is if the house is crowded or if the house is not crowded, your rock star kicks in with your professionalism. Do you perform with the same energy if it's one person in the room or if it's a sold out pack house? And that's our attitude as New Edition. No matter who shows up, the show will be the show. The energy will be the energy. And we will get out there and do what we got to do, perform, and let people enjoy themselves and have a good time.
That has to be such a challenge because performers are artists. And a lot of the stuff that you're participating in, you're singing, Bevy, you've written it, so it's yours. Whether you're depending on whatever role you're playing in the song. But if the audience isn't with you, it has to be depressing, doesn't it? I realize most of the time the audience is with you, but you can get a bad crowd.
That goes on overseas. Like when you go to Japan, Tokyo, stuff like that, they don't really sing all the way through the song. They kind of sit there and smile, and then they clap at the end. So it's a little confusing. You would think they're not with you, but some audience is so subdued, they're enjoying the show as opposed to just screaming like the Beatles. But then there's sometimes when you play in certain rooms you never played in, they're trying to understand who you are, you know, Poison Deadly, moving in slow, looking for a mellow fella like the boat. They're like, oh, I think I've heard that. Before you know it, they start to come in because our professionalism kicks in. We know what to do to pull you in, even if you've never seen us a day in your life.
You mentioned the song Poison, and again, you've had a lot, and you still do. But that's a song that resonates today. I mean, it's played. You name it; it has been played at. As you were helping to construct that, crazy question, but did you feel it as you were trying to put it together?
No, I didn't. And I heard it first. Our manager at the time, Hiram, he played us two records, record called She's Dope and Poison. I liked the She's Dope, but DeVoe, when he heard Poison, he said, Mike, this is a hit. And he told the guy, well, the road manager at the time, if you help us secure this record, you can become our group manager. So that was a deal breaker. And Ronnie DeVoe heard Poison. He takes sole credit from the three of us, Bell, Biv, DeVoe, who heard it as a hit. And man, he had an ear for himself in the 90s. He heard something I didn't even hear, not at all.
And I know it changed everything about you guys, but how did it change everything for you?
Well, for the three of us, right, we were kind of like the background of New Edition. You know, you have Bobby Brown, Ralph Schreiber, and Johnny Gill. So a lot of people didn't think we could form this group. And when we talked about being the group, some people kind of laughed at us like, oh, they're not going to be great. Not a lot of singing. Boom, boom, boom. But we created a formula called hip hop smoothed out on the R&B tip with the pop feel appeal. We said, you know what, we're going to go across all genres of music. We're going to wear airbrush on our clothes. We're going to be more for the streets. We're going to take off our clothes in the videos, and we're going to make records like Do Me Baby. And we're going to be so obnoxious. We actually called it mental, Paul. When someone would say, well, why are you guys wearing winter coats in the summertime? We was like, because it's mental. And they was like, well, why are you changing clothes in front of the audience and not behind the stage? Because it's mental. And we got so caught up in our vibe that it went across the country. Bell Biv DeVoe was so huge in the 90s that when VH1 did what was the number one record in the 90s that they say was the biggest record, it was Poison on their charts. And it was out of 100 records in one of their countdowns. So that's how powerful it changed us.
And Michael, when something like that happens, I mean, you had already, with New Edition, seen the world, but what doors does it open, and how gobsmacking is it when you, when the world is your oyster?
Well, let's go here, right? So BBD, I put out a documentary called The Hustler 617, Mike Bibb, in August. Maybe around the end of the year, the network reached out, ESPN SEC side, and was like, hey, I hear you guys have a new single. Our manager spoke with the powers that be. And they said, listen, basketball is going to go full steam ahead in January. Can we borrow your song and use it as the soundtrack for the SEC during the commercials before the games and highlighting the showcasing game at 6 p.m.? That's how powerful it becomes. You find yourself moving in different areas. And probably the reason I'm probably on your show today is because we've been a part of the SEC since, you know, December, basically. And every Saturday or during the week, folks were hearing a new Bell Biv DeVoe song featuring Run from Run DMC. That's the level it goes to, Paul. It keeps going, and you keep moving, and you keep winning, and you just end up in some of the best places. I mean, the SEC is on fire. So we're a part of the gas and the lightning of the fire and being a part of it, man. It's amazing.
As you were ascending, and you mentioned something very cool a minute ago, was there ever that moment when, I mean, here you are, you know, kid growing up in less than desirable neighborhoods in Boston, and you are where? Tell us about that experience, that moment in time that you simply couldn't believe. It's the I wish they could see me back at home kind of moment.
Oh. Well, I had a few of them.
I bet.
I have a few personally. When we performed at the White House with Bell Biv DeVoe, New Edition performing on New Year's Rockin' Eve, you know, there's a lot of moments where you say, hey, I wish they could see us. And I just think that for me personally, my biggest moment is when the Celtics won the 2008 championship. And Paul and Doc and them called me from my seat, and I'm standing on the sideline. I'm literally standing 2 minutes of the last 2 minutes of that game against the Lakers. And I ran out on the court with all of the Celtics, Paul. And because I'm a basketball player, I ran and grabbed the basketball from the game. And all of the Celtics were going all over the place, Paul. And I said, man, as a ball player, you get the ball, you get the autograph, you bring it home. But because it wasn't my moment, I took the basketball and gave it to Coach Sam Cassell, who was on the court. I said, "Hun, Sam, you need to keep this rock." And when you go into the Boston Garden, there's a big, like, 50-by-50 picture of the 2018. And Sam Cassell is cuffing the ball up under his arm. That was a big moment for me because as a kid in the hood, I wanted to be in the NBA. And the closest I got to winning the championship was running on the court with the Celtics. That, to me, goes on as my thing.
There's a cliche in any entertainment world. You run into somebody and they'll say, man, big fan. But you know when it's true, especially when you're an artist. I have a feeling it's happened quite a few times from very famous people.
Yeah, you know, I met Brian Grazer, who's a hell of a producer, TV movie producer. Denzel Washington, you know, that really knocked me off my socks. And I had the opportunity to sit with Red Auerbach when he was living, you know, and it was at the Boston Celtics camp, and Red gave me his number to the office and everything, and I was able to go to Celtics game. So it got no bigger because Red was my cigar. He was the epitome of Boston in terms of what he did for colored basketball players. So those three people right there really did it for me, and I had the opportunity to beat Michael Jordan shooting pool in my documentary. So I'm pretty happy about life, Paul. And you know, I'm on your show today.
You know, Bibb, I never like to do this, but I've got a Red Auerbach story.
Let's go.
I was an 8-year-old kid. A neighbor of ours played for the Celtics. He knew Red, and he took his son and me to a game. They were the Atlanta Hawks were playing. They played a bunch of games in Memphis, where I grew up. And this is my Red Auerbach story. We're waiting outside. I mean, I see Bill Russell and I can't breathe. I'm a 7-year-old. And you know the team back in the day.
Right.
And then Red comes out to meet my neighbor who took us. And he goes with the cigar in his mouth, who the blank are these two kids? And get them the F out of the locker room. That was my introduction to Red.
And that sounds like Red. And guess what? He was no taller than me. I'm not sure how tall you are in person, Paul, but he had a persona about him that was just so strong. But honestly, he had no color lines. I think he's one of the greatest owners and GMs ever and coach that you could ever meet as a person. And as a matter of fact, Paul, I actually got the number 2 jersey. There's a Celtic jersey with the number 2 on it, and it says Auerbach, and they made up 100 pairs of sneakers with Adidas. I think I have number 34 out of 100 pair of Red Auerbach sneakers in my closet. That's how I got. And I'm sure he gave you something but a t-shirt or a jersey that day. Or did he really kick you out of the locker room?
He really kicked us out of the locker room.
Oh my God.
Hey, by the way, I jokingly said to somebody once, I said after Rick Pitino threw him out and took his title away, that was the only time in my life I've ever liked Rick Pitino. But that's inside Boston Celtics. Before you go, and this has been such a treat, when you've done it all, it never ends for artists. And I know you've got a lot going on right now, and there's such a demand. But what is your view? I mean, music is so all-encompassing, and there's so many genres. But what is your take on where we are right now in your genre and everywhere else?
In terms of music?
Yes.
You know, it's young. The artists from our era and the era before us, we have a stronghold over concerts. When you go to the festivals, you go to the arenas, and you get these more nostalgic concerts, that's where our world is. The younger generation has a stronghold over radio. And we're still trying to find the happy medium between the stars of yesterday and the new stars of today. And I don't think they figured that part out. So groups like us, the New Kids on the Block, Aerosmith, the Run DMCs, what we do is we go on tour and sell out arenas. And none of us have new music out. It's just old catalog music. And then you look at the younger generation and you say to yourself, things are changing, things are evolving. And because I have children, I have 4 girls, I tend to see what's going on. Like, one of my girls really loves Taylor Swift. One of them likes some of these other rappers. So I'm totally in tune. And I would just say that I am so happy that when we want to leave our home and make a living, we could go to the Bridgestone Arena and sell that out. And I got 2 hockey jerseys from the Bridgestone Arena hanging in my man cave. That's what I call life, Paul, being able to preserve it, to keep staying healthy, strong, and selling it out. Once you do that, everything is great. There's nothing to complain about.
What a treat. Thank you for dropping by. I'm so glad we could do this. And I hope to meet you one day very soon and continue this conversation.
Paul, what size jacket you are? You look like a medium. You're a medium?
Afraid
so. I got a jacket. I have a Sporty Rich jacket for you that I'm going to get to you, and I have a Belle Biv DeVoe snapback I'm going to get to you as a gift from Belle Biv DeVoe.
Well,
okay?
My cred on my block has just gone up. Hey, thank you very much. What a pleasure.
And this is BBD. Put your finger out, Paul. This is how we end the song. Put your finger out and wave it. Mike Biv and Paul. Mike Biv and Paul. See y'all later. Peace.
Wow. Well, I don't know how we top this, but we'll try. We'll take a short break, and we are back right after this.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's HIMS.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. HIMS.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
I'm back here from 617 Michael Bibb. That was fun. And we are coming, went a little bit long there, so not a lot of time here in this segment. How about Jake coming up next? Hello, Jake.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
We are doing great. Thank you.
Hey, that was a great segment with him. And I tell you what entertained me the most, not just his past history, but how you looked, how you felt. You looked dapper in that purple suit, and it just seemed very, you filmed, you looked like you really enjoyed that segment with him.
Yeah, I mean, and I don't, a lot of times I'm on with a musician that I do know a great deal about. I don't know what I was doing during the 80s and the 90s when New Edition and all that, but I really did not know as much about him. I mean, I knew he was gigantic, but I tried to be more general so I didn't step all over myself, which I'm sure I did.
You did a great job, but I want to dip into some of your history and ask you a question. Let me be the interviewer for just a second, if you don't mind. Do you mind?
Oh, not at all.
Okay. So in 2013, the summer of 2013, roll your Rolodex back. You know, there used to be that U.S. air flight that went from Birmingham to D.C. and back.
Oh, sure.
One in the morning, one in the afternoon. And I'm sure you flew it.
I did.
That's where I saw you the first
time.
Yeah, first time with Senator Shelby. And I never forget the first time I saw you in person. Do you remember what you were wearing by chance?
Now, was I on the plane?
You was on the plane, and you were in front of me, and you got off. We had to get off the tarmac and then go through the baggage thing because they didn't go up to the terminal.
No, I do not remember what I was. I have no recollection of that.
Okay. So do you have a prize for the bracket for your show callers? Do you have a prize for them?
Nothing yet, but tell me about it.
Well, here's an idea. You were wearing these really cool shorts. They were checkered brown shorts.
Oh, my goodness.
I cannot remember the shirt. I never forget because I was going to say something to you, but I'm like, you know, he's busy and I travel all the time and I don't want to say nothing to people. But you had these, and this is it. I want to know if you still have them in your closet or in your garage. You were wearing these lime green Nike. I believe they were Michael Jordan's. I'm not sure, but they were lime green high top tennis shoes. Do you remember those?
I do. No, I do remember those. And by the way, the reason I used to wear those was when I was out walking our dog, you could see us from a distance. And you,
well,
by the way, you could see those high tops from the moon.
Well, maybe if you still have them around, that could be the prize for whoever won your bracket.
That is a great idea. Hey, Jake, by the way, don't ever hesitate to say hello to me if you ever see me again. It's my pleasure to get that chance to visit. Thank you so much for the call. We head to the break. We went a little bit long during that interview, but we got plenty of time. Final 90 minutes are straight ahead.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Welcome back. Let's continue with more phone calls. And Morgan is up in up next in Maryland. Hello, Morgan.
Hello, Paul. How are you?
We are doing great. Thank you very much.
Greetings from Rockville, Maryland.
Oh, my goodness. very familiar, as I told you.
I absolutely right. I mentioned that to my wife, and her jaw just dropped. She's a big fan of your show. And also a University of Tennessee graduate, and she just found that incredibly coincidental. The last section of your show where you all ended up talking about Red Auerbach brought back one specific memory for me. Red was a native Washingtonian, so he
right.
spent
yeah,
a
didn't,
lot
didn't,
of time.
Morgan, didn't he live there while he was running the Celtics?
He was rumored to live here no matter where he was employed,
okay.
which naturally was the Celtics for decades. So you would see him around town, and I couldn't agree with you and the caller. He was incredibly grumpy but beloved. You know,
yeah.
he had that sort of uncle aura to him. And let me take you back to 1994, Paul, and a remarkable college player and an unremarkable professional player, never nervous Purvis Ellison. Does
yeah.
that ring a bell with you?
Played at Louisville, didn't he?
He did. He won a national championship for Denny Crum, and he was frail. You know, he's one of these, he just had a lot of injuries. And the Washington Bullets, now the Wizards, had him on his team, on their team, and I was a big Wizards fan, and he just could not produce. And somehow we dumped him onto Red Auerbach in the Boston Celtics. I still can't believe he accepted that. And I'm in my car, Paul. It's 1994. I'm 5 years out of college. I'm in my Volkswagen Jetta. I've got my OP corduroy shorts on. I'm sure I had a center part in my hair. You know, I was just all full of spit and vinegar. And I'm driving down Massachusetts Avenue by the National Cathedral, where it crosses Wisconsin Avenue. And I pull up at a light, and I look over, and there is Red Auerbach.
Oh, wow.
In an enormous white Mercedes convertible. And he had the windows, he had the windows up with the top down. And again, I'm all full of spit and vinegar. So I honk my horn, and I make the universal signal. You know, you rotate your hand like, hey, put your window down. And he's smoking a cigar. And he looks over at me, and I said, hey, Red, I get the Kenny Green trade, but really? Never nervous Purvis? And he looked at me. He didn't flip me off, although I was deserving of it. And he just rolled the window right back up. And as soon as the light turned green, he punched it and squealed rubber right out of that intersection.
That's great.
And it made such an impression on me. So I just wanted to put another layer of the Red Auerbach mystique on top of what you all were kind
well,
enough
that is
to
fantastic.
Share.
Morgan, always a pleasure. I got as close to Rockville this year as Silver Springs, but I have not been back to Rockville. I know Silver Springs is pretty close, isn't it?
It's right around. It's probably four exits on the Beltway. And
okay.
and but before we break, a little known trivia about Rockville: the REM hit song "Don't Go Back to Rockville."
Oh, wow. That's about Rockville.
One of the band members had a girlfriend in Rockville, Maryland, and she broke up with him, and he wrote that song as
oh,
a result.
Oh, my goodness.
Of it.
Nothing like putting
Don't go back to Rockville.
No, I will.
Now, I would encourage you, Paul, please come back to Rockville, and I would love to go out and take you to a meal and go down memory lane with you.
Morgan, I would love that. Thank you very, very much. Please come to Boston's. Has a better ring, I think. Expired is up next. Hey, Expired. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Paul. Hey, it's time for
all gray here.
And what's not? Are you ready for this, Paul? Yes, I guess you are. All right. AJ's Twitter game is hot, and Johnny B's is not. Oh, Johnny B's having a hard time, Paul. Legend. Legend is hot, and Miss Peggy, she I feel sorry for her. She is not. Okay? The color bracket, Paul, is on fire. On fire. It is hot. Except for the matchup with John versus John. That is not. You ready for the next one, Paul?
Let's go. I like the rap. I feel like I'm back with Biv again here with the way this thing is rhyming.
There you go. There you go. We got a new member that is hot. Donald Trump is hot, Paul.
Donald Trump is hot.
And Logan, yes, he's hot. And Logan and his wife are not.
You know, whether you like Donald Trump's politics or not, don't you think we're in his debt for breaking up Logan and his wife?
Yes, I thank Donald Trump for breaking them up, and for most likely, I would say Logan's wife is probably happy that Donald Trump broke them up also. But anyway, as we move on, here's one, Paul. God is hot, and the devil, Jim, is not. Okay, and the last one, since we're talking about some music, and you have some music guys on here, and it's been a really great show. George Strait playing in Kyle Field is hot.
Oh, yes.
And Madonna it's coming back. It's happening. And Madonna in Colorado is not. That's all I got.
You know, Expired, I've always wanted to see the Fireman in concert. When is that concert? I may have to scoot out there.
The concert is on June 15th, Paul, and let me know if you need a ticket because I got priority through the 12th Man Foundation.
I may take you up on that. Hey, thanks, Expired. Thank you very, very much. Logan, who was just mentioned as not being hot, is next.
Oh, man, I'm not hot. Well, Expired, you're never hot, buddy. You are Expired. I mean, with a name like that, like, what do you expect, buddy? You are a expired piece of crap. You're going down the first round, so nobody cares about you. You know what I'm saying, man? Do you know what I'm saying, Expired? But, hey, Paul, I wanted to say real quick, you are one of the best interviewers I have ever seen. You're up there with Larry King. You're up there with Howard Stern. That Bill Biv DeVoe interview was great. And that was my childhood,
Logan,
man.
I have to say this about the difference between, I mean, how Larry King was amazing. He never knew anything about anybody, but he was the best interviewer I've ever heard, not knowing anything about anybody. But Howard Stern has the advantage of asking a guy like Biv, like, okay, tell me about the women, and then use expletives. I can't do that.
Exactly. So you had the opportunity to ask him some really stuff. One thing you didn't ask him about, Paul, you know he discovered Boyz II Men.
Yeah.
Did you know that?
I mean, I did know that.
Yeah. I mean, he was not only a great artist in his own right, he was a great manager. He had a lot of good groups under himself back in the 90s. And
he was Dr. Dre before Dr. Dre.
Exactly.
He was so, Jay-Z before Beyonce.
Exactly. He was all those guys, man. It was cool to see him on there, man. I haven't thought about those guys in a long time, but they tour, like he said, they tour and they sell out arenas, man. New Edition is still up there with all those guys. But hey, what did you do to piss off Jim so bad, man? I mean, I have not watched the show every day, but why did he come at you so hard today?
In full disclosure, I didn't do anything. I have hardly mentioned Jim at all, but since Jim is dealing with some issues right now, he just took it out on me.
Man. I don't know, man. I think
I have tried
deep
to be
down,
Jim's
yeah,
friend.
Think,
you know that, Logan. I've caught more flack for being nice to Jim than for criticizing him.
I know, Paul. I've criticized you for being too nice to him.
You should.
You are too nice. I mean, you should come after him. Today you called him. You did say he could be the devil. So now,
I didn't call him the devil, but I just wondered. And listen, we all have heard people of great education talk about how the devil is always in disguise. But what if somebody what if a guy that calls a show like this that's heard by a few people talking about Christianity, but then being so divisive and vitriolic, doesn't that sound like we could be identifying the devil here?
That's what I'm saying. I mean, I've heard now, you know, from my early church going years, Paul, I don't go now, but they say the Antichrist is disguised as the second coming of Jesus. So maybe, you know, we might have identified.
Logan, what if we discovered that right here, right now? I know that sounds like a country song, and we'll be right back after this.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Back in Swamp Dog is here. Good afternoon, Swamp Dog.
Hey, Paul. I almost didn't make it there. I was in the bathroom. I'm sorry, but okay. I got back to the phone in time.
That's exciting.
And I hope that don't put me in hellfire or eternal damnation.
Well, I can't answer that.
You know, well, the hypocrite said so. That's the kind of thing he does. But that's what I want to talk to you about a little bit. They want to talk to you about your old radio show in I think it was in Birmingham, Alabama, before you got on television.
It sure was.
Yes. And that's where you were great, they say, or he.
Yeah, you know, the rumor was that the radio show before ESPN was infinitely better than what you're watching and listening to now. That is according to that individual.
Him. That person, yeah. Well, he says that you are softer now, ESPN.
ESPN, of course.
Well, do you do anything different now than you did on that show?
Yeah, there is a difference in the show. Jim is on the show maybe once every 2 or 3 days as opposed to once every 2 or 3 minutes.
Well,
when you do a show in Alabama, you primarily talk about Alabama. Now we talk about other things.
And he don't like that.
No, because Jim's a guy that likes the past. He likes the way the world was in the 50s when there was separation, when there was a lack
but
of
as far as you,
a lack of freedom
you
for all people.
He says you've changed. You got softer. Did you just cuss everybody out?
I think he's gotten harder.
Some talk?
Well, that's not exactly
what
I
is?
Mean, but... this is a guy with very definite views of the world. They're very antediluvian. I feel like maybe what I did there is different. I mean, I used to be a lot more outspoken. I would give a lot of commentaries. Yeah. But right now, my goal here is for people to enjoy themselves, not to be miserable like him.
I didn't have access to your radio show, but I can't see you being any different there than you are here. I don't see you changing that much.
Well, I mean, the one thing I have done, Swamp Dog, is I think I've understood better what was wrong about that show. I think what we do now is a lot more fun. I mean, this is a long show. People might put it on at 5:53 and go, that sucks. But I mean, it's a process. It's a, you can tune in at a particular time and not have any idea what's going on, or you may be stuck listening to Jim rant about how bad the show is.
Yep, that's exactly. I think people are getting tired of him. I'm sorry, but
yeah, I think most people.
I don't know
are.
If it's scripted. Is it scripted? I don't know if it is.
No, he's not scripted, because if he was scripted, it would make sense.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to ask you about that to see if you're any different now than you were on
the
show.
Well, here's the hard part. I'm not really a good judge of that, whether I'm any different or not. But I tell you what, let's ask the source himself.
Well, you just keep lying. I mean, you didn't used to lie, at least about callers. You call me the best caller you ever had.
Yeah, that was 10 years ago, Jim. 10 years ago. 10 whole years ago.
I don't give a damn how long it is. It was said. Why don't you shut up and stop interrupting? That's why I get mad. Not just one of many reasons. You're so rude. You're a liar. You tell a guy I knew something in the 50s. I wasn't even around in the 50s or anywhere. I wasn't old enough. I was a baby. But why do you bring up this bull crap trying to make me look old and you are old? You're just a liar, Feinbaum.
Well, I was a baby.
You're
in the
malicious,
50s too,
vicious.
Jim,
you're malicious, vicious
that.
SOB. That's what you are. Everybody, you ought to hear what Augie says about you off the air.
Oh.
I sent you a tweet, a private tweet that he sent me about how you lied, all kind of stuff. You're jealous. You set up callers that lie about me. Yeah, you've got 8 or 10 cockroaches that don't like me because they're kissing your ass. That's all they do. And that's all you want is somebody to kiss your wormy ass. That's all you are, Feinbaum. You're phony as hell.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.